I always struggle between choosing between science or a creative endeavor. But of course, you're good in physics, you go do that. Why would you become an artist if you can be a physicist, right? And so when I was doing the PhD, I missed that side of myself.
Welcome to Physicists in the Wild. My name is Aggie Franchik. In this series, we chat with physicists who pursued careers outside of academia. In this episode, we chat with Christina Escoda, who did her PhD in string theory and now is a venture capitalist, angel investor, and writer.
Right now, my sole focus as an investor is running Tachyon Ventures, which is an early stage biotech venture capital firm. And so, what we do is we invest in very early stage companies that have some sort of intellectual property around science and science that can be developed into either a therapeutic or a diagnostic tool or some sort of platform that can just develop drugs. It's very exciting in the sense that I get to talk to all these entrepreneurs and scientists who are brilliant people and have discovered amazing stuff, or we're talking about other discoveries that have the potential to really change things in life sciences and in medicine. So that's one side of my activity. I think that's my main activity. I continue to be involved as an angel investor in some, I call it deep tech, a company that was developing some sort of general AI in Spain. I made an investment. And I'm always scouting because I do like that side of things. And biotech is kind of narrow in its own way. And so I try to direct those interests into that.
Could you say a little bit about what's the difference between an angel investor and a venture capitalist?
Of course, yeah. So venture capitals at least is a lot more institutionalized and structured. You have generally a firm like Tachyon Ventures that manages different funds. We have two funds now. We're raising for our third fund. And the way you do it is that fund becomes a vehicle to invest in companies and a vehicle for investors that are called limited partners to invest into the fund. So you funnel capital into the fund and then out of the fund into the companies. As an angel investor, you're the sole investor in the company, so you can choose companies and you do it from your own, say, capital. I mean, some people have their own vehicle, but it's very personal. And the investments tend to be a lot smaller and a lot earlier, a lot riskier. So, you do it more for the passion of, interacting with those entrepreneurs. And then, of course, if there's financial return, I mean, that's amazing. So those are my two main activities professionally. And then I just more recently started writing as a practice that I do daily, which makes me very happy.
Are you writing a book?
I'm writing a book. Yes. I write different things too. I write some poetry, but right now I'm writing this book and there's no pressure. No one is waiting for it. There's no editor on one end but it feels great to have that outlet without having to, tell anyone just yet.
How is it that you ended up doing a PhD?
I think as a child, I was very curious about nature. Initially, I thought I was going to become a biologist and had all these magazines about biology. And then I think I can't remember when exactly, but I started just focusing more on the universe and then philosophy. And I remember at some point reading The Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. And I think I'm not the only one. And so it's kind of cliche, but I was like, wow, this is insane. This exists and it's so different from what we know. And so at that point, I think that's when I decided, and I started reading a lot more popular science books on the universe and so on. And so when I graduated from high school, I really knew I wanted to study physics. I was also interested in philosophy, so I started both degrees at the same time. That was in Barcelona. For the longest time, I was, my eyes were on this PhD, and obviously, when I had the opportunity to do it at Cambridge, where Stephen Hawking was, I was like, "Wow, everything is working out."
And so your PhD was in string theory, right?
Yes, and so when I was doing my, it's interesting because I was very interested in cosmology and theoretical physics, and at the time, there were two sort of competing factions. There was the string theory. And there was quantum gravity. And I remember talking to some of the professors, And everyone was telling me, look, if you go into quantum gravity, it's a bit of a dead end because it's like sort of the underdog. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to find positions and like do an academic life, string theory is where you should go. And at the time I was like, oh, okay. And both seem to be dealing with the same question. So that's how I ended up pursuing string theory. I think in hindsight, possibly because of the way my brain works and my interests, maybe more in geometry and like more formal stuff, I would have maybe enjoyed more quantum gravity focus, but who knows, you know.
And at the time that you started your PhD, was your plan to stay on the academic path?
Yes, yes. When I started, I was like, you know, I'm going to become, get my PhD and just go into the like academic track. Mm-hmm. But very quickly, I just realized that probably was not for me. As much as my curiosity was still there, the day-to-day life of an academic or an academic in string theory was not something that I found that fulfilling. I found it a little narrow. I think I realized that my brain was more in tune with a polymath approach to life rather than a very focused specialist path. And so I just couldn't see myself in others. Like I couldn't see role models. I always struggle between choosing science or a creative endeavor. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I always wrote, I always drew. But of course, you know, you're good in physics. That's where, you know, it's like, yeah, you go do that. Why would you become an artist if you can be a physicist, right? And so when I was doing the PhD, I was like, wow, I miss that side of myself. I really want to go into something creative. As soon as I finished my PhD, I ended up going into film school. In fact, I started film school before finishing my PhD. I have to say my supervisor was amazing. It's like, okay, you obviously want to try something else, go try it and then come back. And so I went to film school, then went back, finished my PhD. But then I was a filmmaker. And I was a pretty poor filmmaker for a while, and that was hard. And then luckily, I was sharing a flat in London with a guy who was applying to business school. And I didn't even know what business school was at the time. So I was like, business school, what is this? And so he basically just told me a little bit, what is it that you get to learn at business school? And I figured, wow, I have no idea about real world skills, right? I don't know what economics is. I don't know anything about business. I don't know how to even get a, you know, negotiate my own salary. And so with my partner at the time, we applied to business school from, I mean, we were both filmmakers and we were like, hey, you know, let's try to get this, see if it works out. And we were accepted. So that's how I ended up being accepted at NYU. And that's how I ended up moving to the US. And it was only after my MBA that I got into what's understood as the professional work, as in, you know, there's a job and you get properly paid for it. And, you know, there's some sort of career.
When you finished business school, did you already have in mind that you wanted to get into venture capital?
Not really. No, no. To me, business school was like, wow, finance and economics and, you know, supply and demand and sunk costs. And suddenly I felt like a lot of things that I didn't understand about the world fell into place. And so I wanted more. And being in New York, I think it's such finance heavy place. I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna go and work in finance. And so I ended up working at joining HSBC on the trading floor for their global markets. It didn't last long because I found the environment, I mean, soul crushing. I have good friends who are traders and have been for many years, and they're incredible people. But I think the environment was really harsh. But I have to say, I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And so after a year, I moved into a hedge fund that's called Eshaw, which is, it was a completely different environment. It was finance, but it was like very, they take a lot of care about the people they hire. The environment is very supportive. Everyone is sharing, you know, set of values. And so to me, that was really nice to see that there is a way to do finance that's a little bit more human and ethical and still very exciting. So I was there for a couple of years, but I think for me, what ended up happening as an investor in the markets was that it was intellectually challenging, but almost as a puzzle, like you're doing, you know, a puzzle, but I didn't feel I was contributing as much to the world. And I think, you know, my love for science kept coming back to me. And I was like, oh, maybe I can invest in science. You know, that's like the, and so that idea of investing in science, that's how I left the hedge fund. And like as it happens, a friend was starting a startup in the life sciences space. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I can learn something here. And so I joined them as a chief data scientist for a bit. And then the idea around investing in science started to gel a little bit more. And eventually that's how we started Tachyon, with the focus on biotech.
What advice would you give to a PhD student who's interested in working in venture capital?
I think they're very well positioned. In my experience, people are very welcoming of a PhD or a doctor in physics. It opens doors. People want to talk to you. People are interested in physics in the universe, in atoms and what have you. And so I think that's a great opening. Just don't be afraid of starting at the bottom, doing an internship, doing work for free. I mean, I'm not advocating for work for free, but what I've seen is if I see someone who proves themselves and delivers more than is expected, and by the way, the bar is pretty low these days, I think they have a very good chance of growing within a company. And, you know, I mean, it's not a matter of intelligence or ability to understand things, right? Because a physicist will have that. It's really just having that drive and then making sure that they are delivering. That would have been the advice I would have given myself. You know, don't be afraid, just over deliver and things will work out.
Is there anything else that you would like to tell PhD students?
I think maybe generally what I do when someone young comes to me and they're like, career advice, what should I do? Should I study this or should I study that? Or should, can I take a gap year before I start? You know, like a 19-year-old will come to me and be like, can I take a gap year? It'll be too much, you know, it'll be too late. And I'm like, no, of course not. But I think that lack of perspective where you think that things need to be super linear and they don't, you know. And I think when you're young and you don't have that many responsibilities, or even you haven't, and you're not specialized on many things, just try stuff, right? And you can always jump. I mean, I've done many different things starting from scratch, and it's fine. People will have curiosity for someone who comes in from somewhere else. So yeah, I'd tell them to explore instead of just trying to be like, oh, in, you know, 20 years I want to be there, so I have to start from here now.
That's great. Thank you so much, Christina. I think your career has just been amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's my pleasure.